Welcome to the Strongsville United Methodist Church podcast for January 17th, 2016. Today's message, It's All About Prayer, Dummy, was delivered by Reverend Carl Stone, our visitation minister. His sermon spoke about prayer, as well as the new care ministry program, which just completed its first year. Reverend Stone taught us that prayer is not just a significant aspect, but is the most important part of a believer's life. Listen now as Carl reminds us to rejoice, give thanks, and not worry.
Thank you, Carl. And thank you, prayer team, praise team. Maybe by the end of the sermon, you'll figure out that the two of them are practically one and the same. I don't know. Prayer is important to our lives, and so we're going to spend some time talking about prayer this morning. To start with, I want you to know that I do believe what they say, in that confession is good for the soul. Whether that's true or not, it definitely is an important part of prayer. And so I'll go ahead and begin this morning with several confessions and see if my confessions can't help you along the way. First of all, my mother would be appalled, horrified, absolutely, maybe potentially livid if she knew that I used the word dummy in the title of the sermon. Now, she is living very peacefully and comfortably in nursing care at the age of 88 in the middle of Indiana. And so I'm glad she's not here. And I'm not going to tell her, and neither are you. That was confession one. Confession two is that I am the dummy. When you folks get a chance to see me running around. Well, wait a minute. Oh, hey, let me make a third confession before I get the second one done. The screen, the projector and screen are stretching things out horizontally. So I'm taking the first shot here, but I have pictures of the care ministers to show you later, and so I don't want them to be. I even have some proof that it is doing that. So think skinny. I am the dummy, and the way you can prove that to yourself is that at times you can catch me running around a worrying and a fretting, trying to get my ducks in a row and thinking that the whole world is working against me in that. And when you see me in that kind of shape, you will know that I have temporarily, at least, forgotten that it's all about prayer. Life is all about prayer. Prayer is all about life. Now, I want you to know, by the way, that when I see you in the same shape, I know that you've probably temporarily forgotten that truth also. I think it's something that we do very, very naturally. So, I am reminding myself as much as anybody to remember at the difficult times of life that it's all about prayer. Also, we are blessed in this congregation, I believe, by excellent preaching and sermons by pastors who go to the Word and receive messages from God and give them willingly and openly to us so that they are inspirational to us and they have been inspired by God in the process. And we enjoy that type of worship on a weekly basis. That kind of worship will resume next Sunday. This Sunday, you are stuck with a thwarted teacher. I probably missed my calling to be a teacher when I became an engineer, and certainly I'm a better preacher, a teacher than a preacher. And so this morning I'm going to do one thing, two things. But first I'm going to try to teach some scriptural truths about prayer. And then that will lead very naturally into celebration of a new ministry that we have going on in our midst, which is care ministry. Because at the middle of care ministry is prayer. Okay. So I've thrown all the rules out. I've got entirely too many slides, and there are way too many words per slide. And so what I'm going to suggest is that you focus your attention on the slides, and I'll move very rapidly through them, and that way it'll keep your attention off of me. Philippians 4 is the chapter in Philippians where our scripture comes from this morning. Verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, this is Paul writing in a letter to the church at Philippi. But I have to interrupt the scripture at this point to remind us what Paul's circumstances were as he was writing the letter. He was sitting in prison. We don't know whether it's Ephesus or Caesarea or whether it's Rome, because he was in prison in all three places. But we do know that even though he was in prison, he called for us to rejoice, and not only to rejoice, but to be able to rejoice always in all circumstances. Paul had founded the church at Philippi, and he maintained a very, very close, friendly, loving, affectionate relationship with the church, which you can see in the letter of Philippians. And so he's writing very practical Christian ethics, and he's nurturing a young church to grow and to produce fruit and to progress in Christian faith. So let's continue with the scripture. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7, are at the center of our care ministry. And that's why I've tied prayer with care ministry this morning. As a matter of fact, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 are on our prayer card, which you can see if you haven't already, because prayer is at the very center of our care ministry. And so I'm going to be teaching some things on prayer, and I'm going to be celebrating with you folks a wonderful ministry that we have up and going and that we want to grow. And I'm going to do that practically in the same breath, because it's all made possible through prayer. Let's go back to the scripture. This is a simple scripture for interpretation, but it's very disciplined and difficult in its practice. Let's go back and take a closer look at the words that, which may have gone over the top too quickly. Rejoice always. Be gentle to everyone. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And then the result is that God's peace will overtake your life and produce protection and a peace against all of the anxiety and worry that exists in our world today. This is simple said. It's difficult to practice. It's a scripture that highlights the fact that spiritual disciplines are required to produce spiritual fruit. So in this slide here, I would suggest the top four pieces are spiritual disciplines of prayer that produce the wonderful spiritual fruit of God's peace, which will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's one difficulty with this scripture, but there's a second one, and it comes in the form of the word supplication in verse 6. When we see that word, and it's a big word, and we need to talk about a couple big words here in a second, but when we see that word, it sometimes suggests to us that we should emphasize intercessory, the second big word, intercessory prayer. And so we tend to produce for our own prayers and for our corporate prayers long grocery lists of requests for other persons. When we ask, are there any prayer requests, typically what we get in response is intercessory prayer. So let's talk. Supplication is simply prayer request or petition, okay? Intercession or intercessory prayer are specific requests for other persons. And so we tend to think pretty quickly that in our prayer requests, it goes to other persons. But that's not necessarily the pattern of prayer that we want to try to grow in our lives. Supplication is simply any type of petition or any type of request. And so when we see this word in Scripture, we have questions. They are things like, what kinds of requests? How many? What situations? When? Who? Which are the ones that God wants to see and hear? I think these questions are answered for us in Scripture. And so I'm going to refer us to 2 Scripture. Examination of supplication from the perspective of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew reveals a healthy model for prayer requests, prayer petitions, supplication. Two reasons why I bring this to you. First of all, it's in Scripture, and so it carries all the authority of Scripture. And second of all, and even more important, it carries the authority of a pattern, a model that's given to us by the very Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so in Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13, Jesus said to the disciples and to the crowd that was gathered at the Sermon on the Mount, "Pray then this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours forever. Amen." A prayer given to us by Jesus, after which we tend to pattern our own prayers. So let's take a look at the nature of the Lord's Prayer petitions that are in the prayer. And I'll tell you that I thought this was important enough stuff. I was just going to say it's in the bulletin. What you do, if you want to take this and another important piece home with you, there are spare bulletins back over here, and you can grab those. Because you may want to check against Scripture to make sure that I'm telling you the true truth here. First of all, there is the petition, "Let your name be holy, God." And I've added the words, "for our sake." I think you'll see why in a minute. Also, I think I can build a very strong theological case for why God's name needs to be holy for our sake, not for God's sake. He doesn't require that. He's already complete and whole in a way that we don't fully understand, and perfect. On the other hand, we would be in a world of hurt if God's name isn't truly holy. So I think it's for our sake. Number two, "Send your kingdom to us." Have your will and your way with us. Provide for our most basic needs. Forgive our sins. Do not test us sorely. Rescue us from sin and death. You noticed all the us's and all the ours. The Lord's Prayer, given to us as a pattern for prayer, is very communal in nature. It wants to be a prayer for the community. It's a prayer by the community, for the community that's gathered for worship. As a matter of fact, we hold this scripture and this prayer up above everything else as we're participating in communion. This is a communion prayer whereby individual believers can commune with the body of Christ and with God. And that this part is on the bulletin also, in case you want to check those out. Finally and foremost, if we go back to the prayer, we end up saying, "You alone, God, can grant our petitions because you alone, God, have the power." You are God of sacred community. This we believe, and there's only one word left to say, and that is Amen. Amen. Contrast these types of petitions in the Lord's Prayer with what we typically produce, and you see that most of our petitions, most of our requests, are intercessions. And we ask many things for many different persons. That is a good thing. I believe that we should be praying for each other, and we should be praying for the concerns that we each carry. Okay? But taken too far, I don't think it's 100% healthy. Let's consider it this way. Prayer is like a date. And some of you will relate to that easier than some of the rest of us. I have to think a little bit to come back to my last date. But I do have this little story that's very personal. Elaine, my wife, who's here and isn't able to be here very often, and I, during college days, attended a workshop over a weekend. I think it was InterVarsity was the group that was doing the workshop. I was up in Flint, Michigan. She was at her college in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I think I drove down for the weekend. And there was one speaker, I think he was the leader for the workshop in general, who told us that prayer is like a date. And as college students, you can relate to that pretty closely. But I think the rest of you can get the picture here. If you consider, guys, as a college student or as a high school student, would you have washed your car, waxed it, and probably even swept it out on the inside so that you could get in it and park it in front of your sweetie's front porch, gotten out of the car, going up to the door, welcomed your date, taken her by the hand, brought her back to the car, sat her down in the passenger seat, going around in front of the car, and getting the door, of course, and coming around the other side and going into the driver's seat and sitting down, whereupon you presented to her a list. These are things that I would like for you to do for me between this date and next date, please. And you give her the list, and you walk around the front of the car, you open the door, because you're being a gentleman, and you take your date up to the door, give her a peck on the cheek, say goodbye, and go on your merry way, expecting to have a date next week. It don't work that way for dating, and it don't work that way best for prayer as an adult, even though many of us were taught. I was taught. Lord God, take care of Mommy and Daddy and Ralph the dog and Cousin Eddie and my teachers and my friends. And I was taught my very first prayers were long lists of intercessory prayer. And that's fine, but intercession is only one piece of prayer, and there are several others. The Lord's Prayer models for us appropriately and truly how God's peace can guard our hearts and our minds. And that combines the Matthew Scripture and the Philippian Scripture. So don't worry, pray. That comes from Philippians. Don't worry about other people, pray. And that's from Matthew and from Philippians. It's all about prayer. So let's take a look at what I'm going to call faith truths regarding prayer. Faith truths or faith facts. And they're only truths and they're only facts because my faith and experience and study of Scripture tell me that they are true and that they are facts. It may not be the case for you, and so while I don't expect you to accept these as your faith facts, I would like for you to wrestle with particularly some of the more controversial ones, and see if there isn't room for change there. So, and this also is in the bulletin. So, if you want to talk with me later about it, grab an unused bulletin, and you can do some thinking and praying, and we can do some talking. First of all, God is a loving parent 24/7. God never leaves the job. God does the job perfectly. He doesn't ever forget, And he doesn't need 35 people or even 350 people reminding him of things that they're afraid he may have forgotten. God is a loving parent all the time. The children of God have their lives already in God's hands. And God is providing. God will provide. We have that faith. Number two, each and every person here and each and every believer around the world and throughout time has a direct line to God. It's been given to us by Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is our high priest. We don't need any other priests. We have a direct line to God. And that means that each and every believer has all the power the prayer can produce in their hands as they come to prayer. It don't take no minister to pray. We can pray because we've each got a direct line to God. Number three, and this may be the most controversial one, but wrestle with it a little bit. Prayer is our relationship with God. It's not that prayer helps our relationship with God or that prayer is communication with God only. I believe that that is true, but it's much more than that. Prayer is our relationship with God. It's a two-way relationship. Prayer is our relationship with God. And so I take it so far as to say that if you want me to tell you how your relationship with God is, I can do it. Some people think I shouldn't, ought to be able to do it, but I can do it. I simply ask you, how is your prayer life? You tell me that, and I can tell you exactly how your relationship with God is going. Number four, prayer changes the prayer. Prayer doesn't change God. It doesn't change the other person that you're either praying for or praying at. Prayer changes the person offering the prayer. You can't change God because he's already perfect and he's already doing perfect things, so what more can be done? Can't change God, but it very definitely changes the person doing the praying. It might tell us what we should do once we get up off of our knees praying to help the situation along, to help bring the kingdom. Number five, prayer is worship, worship is prayer. Both are our truest life. I have trouble separating prayer and worship. Same way I have trouble separating discipleship and stewardship. These concepts are so close to each other that I tend to think that they are one and the same. Number six, prayer is the only antidote to our age of anxiety and worry. Everyone seems to be in agreement that we are in an age of anxiety. Psychologists tell us that. Political leaders tell us that. Healthcare professionals tell us that. Pastors tell us that. We live in an age of anxiety and worry, and the only antidote for that is prayer. Remember I said prayer is our relationship with God? The only antidote is our relationship with God. It's all about prayer. So rejoice, give thanks, and don't worry. Prayer is the centerpiece of care ministry. Therefore, rejoice, give thanks, and don't worry. And I want to celebrate some good news with you this morning. And this is the transition into the care ministry because we have 16 folks. No, we've got many other folks already doing care ministry in the congregation. But we've got a group of folks that's growing who understand that the center of life is prayer, and if we are praying and acting out our prayers, then we don't need to do anything but rejoice and give thanks, and we definitely don't need to worry. So, 2015 Care Minister Cohort, and remember I told you about the screen stretching things, so no one please be offended. Ron Bakeman, Eileen Bam Bam, Steve Bixel, Joanne Burkett, Carl Butcher, Elaine Bird, Myrna George, Sylvia Jerkin, Judy Hammer, Lisa Johnson, Leanne Latimer, Kim McDonald, Betty Parsons, Karen Ransbury, Phil Weisbrod, Barbara Latica. Those folks who worship in this worship service and who are here, would you please stand because we want to recognize you. 4. And my personal thanks on top of the applause given by the congregation. So let's talk about what's been going on in care ministry. Care minister visits for the second half of 2015, 6 months that we ended come January 1st. Remember, we took the first half of 2015 training ourselves and getting ready. In the second half, we were out there doing it. So we have, for the first 6 months, there were 16 care ministers. And I want you to rejoice in the fact that they made 290 visits in that 6 months. 435 hours or thereabouts were donated. 3,000 miles were donated by these folks. On average, there were 11 and a half visits each week. On any given week, 3/4 of our care ministers visited. And each care minister completes 0, 1, or 2 visits each week. This is something to be thankful for, and I am truly thankful for their work. Let's take a look at the settings where they did their work. So the care minister visits for the second half of 2015 continued. And here's my proof that the screen's stretching. That's a circle. We did a booming business in shut-ins, 114 visits. 61 visits in homes, 45 in hospitals, 25 in rehab centers, 22 over the phone, 14 inactives, 5 grief anniversaries, 3 in hospice, and 1 for surgery. And this is truly remarkable for a group of committed laypersons. Prayer is the centerpiece of care ministry. I want you to know that. Care ministry is all about prayer. So rejoice, give thanks, and don't worry. I'd like for you to experience some witnesses that have come back from care receivers, the persons that we have been meeting with. And there are many of them that I hear. Some of these are ones that I've heard. Some of these are ones that care ministers have heard directly. This makes me feel special. People really care. Thank you so much. I just love so-and-so care minister. I hear the ones that I've taken names out of, I hear. God bless you. I feel cared for. This is wonderful. It's nice to get to know so-and-so care minister. So-and-so care minister is really special. Please come back again. Please send so-and-so care minister. I miss the church, but it doesn't stop there. These are direct quotes coming. Thank you for taking time to visit. I miss my church family. So happy I'm not forgotten. And finally, I love you. That has been shared very appropriately between sisters, care minister and care receiver, on more than one occasion. And that, to me, is remarkable. The care ministers have their own witnesses about what's going on. They feel like they're able to build relationships. I pray each visit, before each visit. This feels good. This is spiritually blessing and fulfilling. I'm able to listen to and feel the Holy Spirit. This is an answer to prayer. I have a sense of peace. It feels like we're building community. This allows me to serve and help others. I'm helping, praying, serving. And I want you to hear this one, a direct quote from a care minister. This transcends everything else I have done. I feel good about myself. This helps my faith and beliefs. This is not so much of a stretch. I'm happy, proud to be a care minister. And then some more direct quotes that you can read here. I'm blessed and enriched in ways I never expected. This is an indescribable yet precious gift I give myself. This lets me share and receive God's love through personal connections. And finally, each interaction is a gift from God. You don't get no better than this, folks. The pastors have their own witnesses about what's going on. The pastors now are doing coordinated visiting right alongside care ministers. Every once in a while we step on each other's toes because there are a lot of folks doing it now who hadn't been in the past. But to a large extent, we're able to do coordinated visiting. The pastors and the care ministers are jointly building community within our community. Visits of all types are up 20 to 30% over the recent past, where we only had two pastors visiting. The pastors are now able to visit and connect new people, sustain new ministries, create new discipleship and mission opportunities for SUMC and God's world. So, you may have guessed this was leading somewhere, and we've gotten to that point. In 2016, we want to start another cohort of care ministers. And so we're recruiting now, and I want to say to you folks, if God is calling you, you can do this. That has been the uniform witness by each and every one of the care ministers. First of all, they have felt a personal call from God to be in the ministry. And second, following training, they felt like they're thoroughly adequate to do what it is that they have been called to do. There's 20 hours of training, 8 Sunday evenings, starting February 21st. Commissioning Sunday will be June 12th. Your commitment, if you chose to be a part of this ministry, would be 1 to 2 visits per week, 1 to 3 hours per week. And most importantly, you could make a recommitment annually. We want to have folks rotating in and out of care ministry. Because once the pattern has formed, if you rotate out of care ministry, you'll still be a care minister in an informal kind of way. And our goal is to eventually, given enough time, make every last one of us a care minister. So, would you please consider your personal call from God into this ministry as a potential? It's all about prayer. Rejoice, give thanks, and don't worry. Amen. May it be so.